United Church in Sydney Mines. In today's message, we are looking at John chapter 3, verses 1 through 21. But before we begin, I invite you to join me in prayer. Almighty God, you have sent a light into the world. That light is Jesus Christ. And so as we come before you today, surrounding ourselves with your word, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You who are our rock, our strength, and our redeemer. Amen. When Anna was in grade one, I think it was, maybe grade primary, she brought home a plant that they had started in class. It was a nice little plant and a nice little cup with pretty little flowers. Now, Bev and I, our initial reaction was, wasn't that a pretty little plant? Too bad it's going to die. You see, generally, we suck at taking care of plants. In the 20 years that Bev and I have been married, we've managed to keep dogs and children alive, but plants not so much. Now, I suppose the advantage dogs and kids have is that when you forget to feed them, they tell you. Plants don't have that luxury. They can't communicate with us to say, hey, I need some water over here. And we typically don't tend to look at our plants enough to realize they're wilting toward death. Over the years, we've had a number of plants in our home. Notice I said had. Sadly, they all didn't make it, except one. Anna's little plant, to this day, is still alive. How? We're not sure. We've tried a number of times to make sure it didn't get water, but it still pops up. There's little flowers. It's in bloom right now. And even after periods when we're sure it finally had to be dead, we finally killed it. But no, it keeps going. The kids seem to be doing well. The dogs were quite fine when we had them, and I just want to reassure you that their deaths were not because of our negligence, but other health reasons related to dog stuff. So just to be clear. But for some reason, plants just seem to be a little more resilient than other life forms. If you forget to feed them, they'll just go dormant for a while until you remember that they need water or whatever. I mean, sure, there's a point beyond which you can save them, but if you catch it soon enough, you can often nurture them back to health with proper care. Funny things, those plants. They just seem to keep coming back, almost like being reborn. Now, I'm sure some of us wish we could be reborn once in a while, especially trying to get out of bed in the morning. But maybe we can be reborn. What is it that Jesus is saying to us today? Jesus was approached by a man named Nicodemus one night. And Nicodemus is a member of the ruling Jewish council. So he's an important man. Likely, he's a powerful man. Now, we aren't entirely sure why Nicodemus came at nighttime. Now, there's some speculation as to why that is. Some people say, well, because he was in the Jewish ruling class, that he came at night so he could hide his visit so people wouldn't notice him quite so much. We aren't entirely sure. Maybe he was just busy doing Jewish council stuff all day, and that's the only opportunity he had. We aren't entirely sure. But for whatever reason, he has come so he can talk with Jesus. Now, Nicodemus acknowledges right away that Jesus has come from God. And this is based simply on the fact that he's been hearing what's been going on. And the only one who could be doing what Jesus is doing is because they would have to be sent by God. He's been hearing about the miracles Jesus has been performing. He's been hearing about what Jesus has been teaching. Nicodemus has no doubt that Jesus is from God, and God is with Jesus. But he stops short of calling Jesus the Messiah. He goes as far as calling Jesus a rabbi, that is, a teacher. Now, Jesus, in his response, he wastes no time in getting to the heart of the matter of what Nicodemus is trying to deal with. He says, "Very truly I tell you, No one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. Now, Nicodemus seems a little confused by this statement, as I'm sure a lot of people would be. When someone says you need to be born, you're naturally going to think of the natural birth process, right? That's where you would go, as Nicodemus does. So Nicodemus needs some clarity here. He says, I need to be born again? Like, how can someone go back into their mother's womb to be born again? And that's a great question. Me, I'm 6'2" and 200 some pounds. I'm pretty sure I don't fit anymore. And we find out Jesus is not necessarily speaking about the birth of our bodies. He's talking about our spirits. He says, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. So Jesus is telling us and Nicodemus that we need to be reborn of the Spirit. And this is what is at the heart of faith. We need to know the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ within ourselves so that we may be with God. Jesus says it himself. We need the Holy Spirit. Right. Nicodemus still does not understand. And Jesus says, how do you not understand this? Nicodemus is a teacher of the Jewish faith. He's a leader, and he does not understand the Spirit of God. Jesus has been doing the work of God all over the place. That's right. He's been doing the work of God all over the place. People are being healed. People are turning their lives around. People are flocking to him by the hundreds and the thousands just to hear his messages, just a chance to be close to him. It seems like a lot of people are on the way to figuring this out. They seem to be on the way to understanding what it is he's saying and he's teaching. I love it. The louder I talk, the louder you get. I love it. Yet Nicodemus, he's a teacher. He's an expert in Scripture. And he just doesn't seem to get it. Nicodemus seems to want to understand how things work in terms of the heavenly kingdom. Yet Jesus, he says, you can't grasp the simpler things. All the stuff he's sharing about living on the earth. So how can Nicodemus understand something so much more complex, more beyond human understanding, such as the heavenly kingdom? So Jesus, again, tries to break it down into something easier for him to understand. Now remember, Nicodemus has said that God sent Jesus. Nicodemus began the whole discussion by affirming this fact. He didn't say Jesus was from heaven, but he did acknowledge that God sent Jesus. And Jesus takes that to the next step. He says that no one has ever gone to heaven except the one who came from heaven, which is himself. Jesus then says there will be powerful signs. Just like when Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so too will he be lifted up. And Jesus is, of course, referring to the cross. And through this sign, through his death on the cross, everyone who believes in him will have eternal life with God. Why? Well, that leads us into probably the best known verse of all Scripture. If it's not the best known, it is certainly the most quoted. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Now, I'm sure most of you have heard that before. In fact, probably when I started saying it, you probably said it underneath your breath along with me, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, that whoever in him shall not, but the message does not end right there. I mean, that's a great little mini capture of the gospel. That really is a great verse. But we should keep reading to see what else is being said. Verses 17 and 18 say this: "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So Jesus is not here to condemn Nicodemus, just as Jesus has not come to condemn us. Jesus is here to save Nicodemus. Jesus has come to save us. If we deny the saving power of Jesus Christ, we are condemned. But it's not Jesus who condemns us. We condemn ourselves. Jesus is complainingly, simply, as clearly as possible to let us know we are loved by God and we are welcomed to be part of his family. If I wake up tomorrow morning and I start reading the ingredients on my food and say, wow, there's a lot of chemicals in there, it's probably not good for me to eat all this processed food, all these chemicals. I'm going to give up food. Well, I won't last very long then, will I, if I decide to stop eating? In a few weeks, I'll be dead because my body will have depleted all the reserve energy it stores. All because I chose to give up food. I will have been condemned to death through that choice. Now, who condemns me? Is it the farmers? Is it the stores? Is it anyone who touches my food? Are they the ones who condemn me to death? No. I made this decision on my own. I have chosen to condemn myself by not believing in the need for food. Likewise, if we choose to not believe in the saving power of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross for our sins, he is not the one who condemns us. We have condemned ourselves by not accepting the life and the love he freely offers us. But by denying Christ, we have chosen death over life. Listen. Because we don't usually pick up on what comes after that 3:16. So 19 to 21 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. I'm scared to watch the news these days because there's a lot of stuff coming out of the darkness in this last little while. These past few weeks and months. I mean, look at the span of 2 days last week. Three major Canadian male politicians had stuff exposed about themselves, which has cost them their high-profile positions in society. Stuff has come out which women should never have to deal with in terms of dealing with men in positions of power and authority. Or, for any circumstance for that matter, women shouldn't have to deal with it. And I don't really understand what drives men to do these things, if they are indeed true allegations. I mean, the court of public opinion is one thing, but there's also proper channels that need to be navigated. However, it seems like there's certainly enough stories and evidence coming out that no matter what happens, their reputations will be tarnished for a very long time. This is what sin does to people. Sin causes us to hurt other people, even people we care about. And it will also cause significant harm to ourselves. So what do? We try and hide our sin. But we can only hide it for so long. Sin is ugly. Sin is nasty. Sin is infectious. Sin works our way into our lives and affects everything in our lives, everything it touches. Sin impacts our relationships, it impacts our families, it impacts our careers, it most certainly impacts our relationship with God. Sin can only hide for so long before it is exposed for the evil that it is. But what a difference if we live our lives in the light of Jesus Christ. What a difference it is if we follow in God's way first and foremost. If we live in the light, then we have nothing to hide because God is in the light. And Jesus Christ is the light who has come to shine in our hearts so that we may know the love of God. Jesus walked this earth so people, us, would have the opportunity to turn away from the darkness in our lives and the sin in our lives and have opportunity to live in the light. So that we may know in our spirits, that we may be reborn in our spirits by the Holy Spirit of God, sent by His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, and have eternal life with our Father in heaven. This is the power of the cross, which lifted our Savior high, exalted above all other names, to bring salvation for all of humankind. So are you reborn? Are you the flower that blossoms, even when it looks like through neglect and death and darkness has all overcome you? Have you come to the one who nurtures life and hope? Do you know the saving power of Jesus Christ our Lord? He is waiting to give you His Holy Spirit and life reborn through His power. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your sacrifice on the cross so that we may find life in You. Help us to receive this incredible gift of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and learn to live in the light You have for us. We recognize, Jesus, that You have come to save us from ourselves. So help us to find the courage to follow You and Your ways so we may be saved. May this church be refreshed by Your Holy Spirit. May we be reborn in Your likeness, offering light, the light of God, to this piece of creation You have entrusted to our care. We ask all these things in the saving power of Your holy name. Amen and amen. Thank you for listening to Be Still and Know, a ministry of Carmen United Church in Sydney Mines. To learn more about our ministry, please visit our website, www.carmenunited.ca. May God bless you this day.